Motion. My name is Liz, and I'm the host of this podcast. And this is the first episode of 2021, and this will be airing for the first time on January 19th. So that, of course, means that a lot has happened, not only just in the past couple of weeks, but just the past couple of days has been a lot for a lot of people. And the main thing that I want to say is that white supremacy is real. It's not okay. And it's up to other white people, to fellow white people, including myself, of course, to do the work within anti-racism, to talk about all the different ways that supremacy affects our lives and how it only benefits people who are white. And the lighter skinned that you are, the more of a benefit or privilege that you get, which isn't okay. But I'm going to link in the show notes, along with links related to our guest, some information of some direct ways that you can help in terms of mutual aid. Some will be local links, local to East Tennessee, where I'm based. But there will also be some other mutual aid links connected to other places. And of course, it doesn't matter if you're sharing money or sharing information to some place that's local or abroad. What matters is that you're helping and doing what you can. There will also be some information of different people that you should follow on social media. This podcast and myself is on Instagram, and so I'll be sharing Instagram handles, but most people that I'm sharing about, I'm sure, have other platforms too. So if you prefer a website, or to look at their book, if there is one, or to look at a different social media platform, you can find it through their Instagram handle. So please check that out. And for this week's episode, I interview someone who is a friend of mine who I've known for over a decade and a half, I think. And it's a really great person for this initial 2021 episode because she's a comedian and she's an actor. And like everyone that I've interviewed on my show so far and whom I'll always pick, I only surround myself as best that I can with people who are trying their best to do the work to help others. And this person has done that too. And so I hope you enjoy this interview with Jordan Mullins. And please check out her work with Attic Fever, who is her comedy troupe. And you're going to learn all about her film pick, her art pick, and behind the scenes stories about the films that she makes and how she writes characters and all kinds of amazing things. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah, from Abingdon. So yeah, Southwest Virginia.
Okay, and then you come from a really creative family. And then you sent some really cool influences of different people who have influenced you, I think, for acting, but also just for like
I'm sure for different aspects of your comedic style. But what were you like when you were a little kid? Because I don't think I know. I've heard some stories you told with your mom and dad that I love. But what was your personality like? And what was it like growing up with your parents?
Yeah, so I consider myself growing up as an only child. I do have a half brother, but he's 10 years older and he didn't live with us. He would come over in the summers and then I'd have like a super cool brother who, you know, told me that Hootie and the Bluefish wasn't like cool.
Oh
You know,
no.
the Blowfish. And I was like, okay,
Right?
got it. Got it. He's like, Coolio? Cool. I was like, okay, I got it. I'll tell all my third
That's
grade
true.
friends. But yeah, so like kind of an only child, just me, my mom, and my dad, and we lived out in the country. And there we had it was like this house up on a hill, and we had five churches that surrounded us. And just luckily enough, I had a girl that lived just down the hill, and she, you know, I would be like, you know, let me come, you know, come go down and play with her. She'd come up and play with me. But yeah, so I did have a friend, you know, but I was thinking earlier, I had like a flashback because I was thinking about that, and I was a an avid jabberer.
Oh, cool.
I was very vocal. Like I learned to talk really young and was singing and just jabbering. And so like I'm really sensitive to sugar and caffeine, and I wasn't allowed to have chocolate and definitely not caffeine. But every now and then I would get into a pack of Skittles or something and
Oh,
lose it.
wow. Are you still like that? Like sensitive to certain things or?
Yeah, definitely. Like sugars, caffeines, alcohols, you know, anything like that. It's just like I can't handle my
Right?
Skittles. I get buck wild on some sugar.
Yes.
But I would be the quintessential kid. But I remember, like, I would jabber. So I would get hyped up, and I would just be like,
Wow.
And I would just be in a corner, like huddled up, like, and my parents were like, oh my God, you know. And my mom tried to teach me mantras
Oh,
to, like,
wow.
she's like, if you're going to be saying all this like nonsense, it would be good if we could teach her some, like, you know, like a
Some
Om Namo
grounding.
Om Namona Rayanaya, or Om, you know, Sri Gung Hung Swaha, you know,
Nice.
some kind of like pr some prayers. And you know, sure enough, I'd like do it for a little while, and then I'd be back on like fart fart pee pee, fart fart pee pee, butts 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 butts. You got kids,
Yeah,
you
well,
know how it is.
right? Well, it sounds like well, Strummer did like a similar like thing today, but it's not typical of him. The jabbering thing, like he was imitating a movie scene from The Despicable Me or from the Minions movie, and it sounds like that. So I feel like maybe you have some royalties that you should, I don't know, try to get from Disney because it sounds really similar, but even better. Like you have more of like a fine-tuned version. But yeah, it's interesting. Like I've taught a lot of kids, and like at least through the years, and like some kids don't have that. I'm just a total spectrum. So, but. Totally, but I know examples of that too.
I was like a big jabber, and then I would, you know, I would just stare in the mirror a lot. And I feel like, I don't, it seems like from what I hear about other only children or kids brought up predominantly only child, they are the center of attention a lot. But my parents are doing their own things. I feel like I spent a lot of time up in my room looking in the mirror, looking at how my face works, you know, like looking at my teeth and opening my mouth, and what if I go like this, and what if I go like that, and crossing your eyes. And I got like really obsessed with learning how to flip my eyelids inside out, and just like
Oh.
really getting in the nitty-gritty of like my face.
That's
And
really
then, you know,
great, though.
any kind of wig, any kind of, you know, any kind of face altering thing, I just thought it, or voice altering thing, it varies very egocentric here. Like, I do love to hear myself talk and all that stuff, but would, like, you know, it would be like a friend. That sounds silly, but
no,
it would be,
well,
like a friend.
As, like, with you being an artist, like, I feel like that's something that must have been beneficial. Like, when you're a kid, you're not thinking about how that's going to affect you as a grown-up. You're just exploring. Mm-hmm. But there's people that don't do that. I remember doing that. I remember staring, like, a lot and just being, like, bewildered. And then I would think about, like, my ancestors. And I think I, like, saw a mirage and, like, pictured myself as, like, a pioneer woman. Like, I thought pioneer times were so cool, but super weird stuff. But I know, and, like, Strummer does that. He loves to look in the mirror. But I think that's so crucial to just figuring out stuff that, like, grown-ups don't do that enough. Or, like, if I put makeup on, I'm not, like, contorting my face necessarily to try. I don't know. So I think that's an interesting exploration to do.
It's probably in the, like, when I was developing my ego, you know, which is crucial for children to do, to have a well-developed ego. You know, it doesn't mean that you're egotistical or anything. It's just, like, developing yourself and being comfortable with your body and your face and, like, your voice and this, that, and the other. My parents are, I owe so much of, like, my sense of humor and any kind of artistic ability that I have from them, because they really nurtured me from a very young age, giving me, like, I had a setup. And it, like, looking at, you know, Strummer and Opal and, like, you know, on social media and stuff with you, it reminds me back of when I was little, because I had a spread of any kind of, every kind of paintbrush, paint, canvas, this, that, and the other, and I could just go crazy with it.
That's so great. And both of your parents, from what I know, like, I know, like, I think of your mom, I think of acting. When I think of your dad, I think painting. But I know that they both have so many interests, because I know I've seen, like, some artwork that your mom has made. And then she has, like, her fashion sensibility. And since she's been a businesswoman. And then does your dad play music, too? Or they're both, your mom scenes, I think. There's just so much. Yeah. And I see so much of that with you, too. Like, you're so musical. And you have such an incredible voice, and you've always had a cool fashion. So I feel like there's so much of that, that it's like this multimedia force when I think of you guys. But that's cool to hear, like, how open it was.
It was a very cool house. And we were, I mean, I was, my friends loved to come over because there were naked people on. You know, there were titties everywhere, and butts and vaginas.
The scare it, though.
All my dad's art has a very, like, what does he call it? He called it, like, Buddhist Appalachian art.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
A lot of it has, like, some sort of, like, Buddhist spiritual aspect to it. And also, like, a lot of Appalachian influences, kind of, you know, a lot of folk kind of things to it. But there's some wild pieces in our house. So, like,
I thought you were gonna say wild penises, but
there were some wild penises too. They're very Freudian. It was never just like, whoa, there's a penis. It was always a flower, you know, where the flower tip was a penis tip, you know, and you're kind of, you gotta look at it twice and be like, that's a dick. But yeah, friends love to come over for that. Oh, and we had, until I was six, we didn't have a toilet in our house. We had an outhouse outside. So, and it was weird. There were artists that lived in our house before we moved in, and the woman painted the outhouse with all kinds of, like, weird stuff inside the outhouse. There was, like, a woman with bird wings flying and all kinds of really bizarre shit. So when you go out to use the outhouse, like, you're looking.
That's so crazy. Like,
you don't
That's
know
so cool.
when you're little, but it's some weird stuff. But before I lived in Abingdon, we lived in Lexington, Virginia. And there's an outdoor theater there called Lime Kiln Theater. And my mom was a resident player in this theater. So she was in plays all the time. And my dad did set design and puppetry. So he did a whole lot of papier mâché puppets. I got a picture.
Oh,
Listeners can't
I don't think
see
I
it. And you.
saw in his puppets before. Wow. Oh, it's massive.
It's huge. And
And
this is.
the scale of it, did he do like multiples or how did they operate?
So this puppet was for a play called Muncie Meg, which is kind of, if you're familiar, it's like an old Appalachian story similar to Cinderella, kind of. They had the wicked stepmother and the stepsisters. And all the characters in the play were these paper mache heads. So actors would have these paper mache heads, and my mom was Muncie Meg, and she was the only human in it. So this picture was the evil giant that's in it, but they had the head and on a zip line, and the audience didn't
Wow.
know it. So the head was on a zip line, and then there were like multiple people maneuvering the arms and everything inside the body, and people on stilts. And it was, I'm really bad with like feet and judging how tall something was,
Me too.
it was like the size of a big house. My mom slays this giant, and the head goes off, like cuts off, and then zip lines down the zip line over the audience, and is like, "Whoa!"
That's so cool.
Remember
That's
being
so
like,
dramatic.
I must have been like 4 watching that stuff, and just being
Wow.
like, and so there was always like weird puppets, weird things laying around, stuff to get into and play with. So
That's so
I was
cool.
very, and then when I there was a point when I, when you're little and you think, like when you make an adult laugh, it's a big deal, and it's like a mystery. It's a sense of humor that you're not quite in tune to
Totally,
yet.
it's confusing.
Yeah, because it's not just like, you just say fart and like we're laughing like crazy, but you adult, there's timing, there's this. And where was I going with this? Oh, but I learned quick like what I got accolades for, like artistically, and it was to be weird. So like, it was all good if I painted like a house with some like, clouds to set in the other, and my parents were like, yeah, that's all right, nothing good. But I caught on to like gifted children do really fucked up art and like do weird stuff like that. So like mimicked being like a gifted child because I was just smart. It was like I was faking it. But I like drew this picture of my mom, and it's like her face, her hair, and then I drew her with like naked breasts. And then I drew spider legs coming out of her,
Oh,
and she had
cool.
like a hairy bush. And
It works, though.
yes, it was like my mom's face, boobs, hairy bush, and then like 8 legs, spider legs
Oh,
coming out.
cool.
And boy, when my dad got a look at that, he was like, "Oh, my daughter is she's a virtuoso. Like she's special. This is fucked. This is so fucked up that she's
Right.
unique, apparently."
It's
And he was like,
transcendent.
and he loved it. He was showing all his friends and
Oh,
hanging it up. Like, look at what my
that's so
8-year-old daughter
cool.
did. And I was just like, I just know that's what you want. Like, I just drew it because I know the weirder the shit that I produce, the more you're like, "Oh, she's special."
Right? It does sound really cool, though. I hope, do you still have that? Or does your dad have it
Oh,
like framed somewhere?
I haven't seen it in years, but maybe. Yeah. So
So
I think
cool.
that I'm still playing that game, fake it till you make it.
Right.
No, just kidding.
Well, I wanted to ask about when it comes to like maybe like influences that come from like the media when you were a kid, were you a kid that watched like TV or movies? I've had like some artist friends where they're like they grew up in different places or ashrams and they hadn't ever watched TV till they were teenagers. And then there's people like me who like grew up on lots of TV. But I loved watching I Love Lucy, and you mentioned Lucille
Yeah.
Ball, who I love too. What was like your media intake as a kid, and Do you remember like the initial like impression, like the most impressionable people, I guess, in the beginning for you, or how old were you when you started to kind of figure out what you liked?
Let's see. I was we so we didn't have cable or channels. We didn't have like the news, anything. It was basically just a TV and a VCR. So I had tons of movies, cartoons mostly, like lots of Disney. But then we had a lot of like really cool anime movies
Oh,
that
cool.
I don't know if they were even being called anime. Maybe I should just say Japanimation. It was that style of illustration and cartoon, but they were like VHSs that my mom would get at like the grocery store, you know, and just buy and pick up a movie. So I had a bunch of like old fairy tales that were done super super cool and different, and a lot of times were really depressing. You know,
Yeah.
I had this Hans Christian Andersen version of The Little Mermaid
It's so
and watched that, and
scary.
I was like, shit.
It's so messed up. I read it recently
Yeah.
to Strummer, and he's super sensitive, like, which is great, but also it can be really intense. But I had to skip so much of it because it's too hard. It's too much for him. But it's really
Yeah.
cool. But it's like violent.
It's weird how like Disney takes violent stories and makes them very, very
Yeah,
palatable. Like
totally.
Anastasia, like what the
Yeah.
fuck? It's like mass murder massacre.
Right.
And but then they throw in like, you know, they Bambi and it's like, oh my God, my heart.
Yeah.
But so we had a lot of those movies, and then I had just a couple VHSs that were what I called real people movies, you know, with like real, this movie's got real people in it. And it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I love that movie. I have a pop-up
Yes.
book that was my mom's as a kid, but that's a good
Oh,
one.
cool. So Chitty, yeah, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And then Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which my friend would come over and we knew the choreographed dance to the opening scene where all the tap
Oh,
dancers come back and we'd be tap dancing. And then we knew like all the words to it. And you know, in elementary school, that's a pretty violent movie. But I still to
yeah.
this day like love the music to it. Like
I do
no,
too.
that's not it. Donald, diddle doodle, ha ha, piddle, piddle, doodle doodle, ha ha. You know.
So, yeah, it's so intense and good. No, I love it
Yeah.
too.
And I remember it like so my friend and I were like, we were watching that, and there's that part where like the guy's getting ready to go, he's got his heart ripped out and he's getting ready to go down in the fiery pits, and he's going, on the marsh fire, on the marsh fire, on the marsh fire, on the marsh fire. So we're all doing those, you know, we're singing along with him, and then the guy's like, Kalima, Kalima Shukdande, and we knew all those words, and my mom heard what we were saying, and she came out and she was like, you don't need to say those words, they hold energy and power, and Kali, if you're like talk, you know, if you're chanting to Kali Ma, the, you know, the deity of destruction, which is, you know, good. She's not bad per se, but you know, it's like she was like, no, you can't, don't be saying those
You're
words. You
summoning.
don't. Yeah. And my friend got really freaked out. I've
Oh
had a lot of friends have to leave and go home after hanging out with my freaky parents.
I feel like, and I've only met your mom a few times, and she's so sweet and she's so cool. But I feel like maybe there's a lot of like reverence, or at least my mom would have that too, with like when it came to movies or something, where it's like the belief that you can channel something or summon something is really
Yeah.
real to a lot of people, but there's something really cool about that. But it can, for when you have friends over, it's like bewildering for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, it freaks their little asses out. I was like, we were trying to have a séance one time to bring back the spirit of my dead gerbil. And we had
Cool.
gotten the one Bible that we had in our house, and had like sprinkled some gerbil food on it, and we had lit candles, and we were in this like this room that nobody went in, and my mom heard us, and she was like, she came in, and it wasn't that we were like, you know, what. She was like, you can open doorways. You can open doorways and the spirits can come in, whether you're doing bad stuff or good. And my friend, you know, got super scared. Oh, and no. Another time they had to go home, oh, you know, because my mom went and got the smudge stick. She went and got the smudge stick, and she's up in there like saying some chants and smudging the room. And my friends are like, I am freaked out.
I'm just picturing like the fact that there's gerbil food as part of this, yeah. And then the scent mixing with the sage and everything. That's pretty hot.
Yeah, that gerbil froze to death. That's how that gerbil died. Oh,
that poor gerbil. They're so tiny that happens. That's just
oh, man. Good riddance to that gerbil.
Yeah. That's he serves him right. He got cold. He had fur.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah. I had an Ouija board because we weren't allowed to have the normal plain size one. And there was like this series of like keychain board games that were just like these novelty keychains that would open up. But it was just like a shrunken, like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids version style of a game. So there's like a Monopoly one, but you couldn't really play it because it was just like the letters were like smudges. It was so tiny. But the Ouija board came with a little piece. I can't remember the little like planquette, I think it's called. Oh. But like you could put, if you wanted to, like maybe one pinky on it. I remember like I thought it was so cool, and like I had it on my bed, and it was like, pinkering my blanket around, and like my mom coming in and just like dramatically tearing up the keychain to throw it away because the portal thing was true in our house too.
Yeah, it wasn't like that's Satan. It was like, no, well, the spirits could come in, you know, you gotta protect your aura. Yeah, it's had some good hippie parents.
Yeah,
for sure, growing up.
But that's, there's something really like protective and sweet too, I think.
Yeah. And I'm glad that I got, I was taught that at an early age. I grew up non-religious and I should say we able to just to choose, to pick and choose. It was always taught to me and known that I can take a little bit from here. Take a little bit from here, not vibing over here, just leave that part out, take a little bit and make your own understanding. So that was wonderful, and my mom would read me Bible stories, but she'd also read other stories, and they were all good because they were all many 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 pathways to the one kind of enlightenment or one kind of, you know, thing. So whichever way you're going to get there, as long as if it's love, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. So that was great. I feel like I got growing up that really shaped me, and I was really fortunate and blessed to be able to like have the autonomy to choose what I wanted to believe in, and for the longest time that was absolutely nothing, and that was okay.
And it sounds like it came from such a place of empathy, because I feel like that's, for when I think of my more religious friends, empathy is a place that they operate from. But when I think of like either people who are like coworkers or people who were trying to like proselytize and like come from a more like dark place, that wasn't like the main part of it. But I love that it's easy to go to the other end of the spectrum and to get skeptical to a point of being maybe too angry, or I don't know, like it's nice to have that balance. So I love that your mom and dad did that. It was kind of like a sampling, I guess, which is really cool. Yeah.
A little platter.
Yeah, that's super neat. Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up the painting that you picked, because when you're talking about your dad's artwork, it's like totally connected, because the painting that you picked I love, but there's everything from like flying ears that are like dripping in blood, and there's farts coming out of trumpet. So many cool things. But so could you share your artwork that you picked, and then maybe why you picked it, or how did you first see it maybe?
So yeah, I picked classic Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch. Just the good old classic, painted in 1510. And I just love knowing that in 1510, people were sticking flower bouquets in their buttholes and playing
Totally.
fudge trumpet.
And it's
But
so beautifully painted. Like the subject is insane and it's so amazing, but yeah.
so they have it's a triptych, would you call a three
Or
part
yeah, or a triptych.
a triptych, thank you.
But it looks like titch,
Triptych and vintage
so
triptych.
you're good.
So the middle one is a scene of what we would consider life on Earth, I guess, all the earthly delights and people swimming. I've got it pulled up on my phone here. I'm looking. People swimming, people eating fruit, people kissing. Looks to be just having a good old hedonistic time, and seems look happy. But there's so much detail in it, and you can see. But there's also some science fiction looking stuff for 1510. When you're looking in the background, there's these weird spaceshipy looking castles and
Yeah.
all this weird stuff. And then there's a heaven scene, which what I would imagine there's a heaven scene, and then there's also a hell scene. So the heaven scene, there's a Jesus in there. I see a Jesus. But then you've also got a cat, mouse, rat, dog, bird, kangaroo thing,
Right? Yeah, just a
Just
simple little.
yeah, that's my heaven. Here's a two-legged dog. It's like an armadillo dog rat mongoose baby up in there. So, and there's lizards coming out of the heaven looks like a really fun place to be. And then hell's my favorite. There's all kinds of crazy shit. There's a nun, or there's a pig dressed up as a nun.
Pig part's really important.
Liz, did you ever see that thing on the internet where someone actually played the music that was
Yes,
coming
I
out of the
forgot
butt?
about that.
Yeah.
I forgot, and there's this girl who's a musician that I'm friends with who shared that, and I thought that was so cool, but I
Oh
had
my
no
gosh.
idea for years. But yeah,
Finally, the myth
it's.
is solved.
And I
So, yeah.
think. Is this the one where it closes and then, so like most triptychs, there's like three pieces and usually they're hinged together. But I think this one, when it closes, there's another painting on the outside and it's like a globe of the moon. It's like this weird moon globe. If it's not this piece, it's another by Bosch, but I think it's this one and it's
Oh
super cool.
man.
But it's like this
Whoa.
weird ghostly, so it's like this haunted, quiet image, and then inside you have the super chaotic party fun house. But I love this
Little
painting.
universe. So I one reason why this is so meaningful to me is I got a big ass poster of it
Oh,
when I was
cool.
in high school, I think, at a fair or whatever. And my room was it was a closet. It was a walk-in closet, and we put my bunk beds. And I had bunk beds until I was, out of high school, and they took up the whole room. And I had that poster down on the bottom bunk, and that's where I slept. So
Oh,
every morning when I
cool.
woke up, I'd roll over and I'd fall asleep looking
Wow.
at it. And I'd wake up looking at it, and it would lull me to sleep. Just look, because you can always find something new in all the
Yeah.
details.
That's really
So
cool.
I don't know how that's influenced me by just
Well,
being.
that's just a part, that's a big part of your life, the fact that you were like taking it in every day. I think that's something not a lot of people do with a work of art, but I think that's really cool. And to pick a piece that's so like complex and has all this minutiae, because there's parts of it that I'm sure that I haven't seen yet because I haven't looked at it long enough. So that's so, and I can also, so like I'm thinking of your dad's artwork, then I'm thinking of that video I just saw of yours, the feelers, that's super Bosch like too. So like I love, so there's, I can totally see the connections for sure.
Cool. Yeah,
But
I love weird critters. I love weird critters and just yeah. So that probably helped me dream up some monsters or some like weird little
yeah.
thing.
Well, I wanted to ask you, so this is a serious question. Did you buy the goblin calendar that you were looking up online last because there's, when you pulled up the Bosch painting, I have some Doc Martens that have that painting like printed on it. And when I was teaching about it one time to some high school students, and I called the presentation Bosch is the boss, I thought I was so cool because they have like Bosch like skateboards and like t-shirts. I wore my boots and they were just like, yeah, you can have like anything printed on stuff, like who cares, like so it wasn't as cool as I thought. But then I thought of that again when I saw all your goblin like kitchen wares, like your towels and things, they're so cool. How did you find those?
Oh my God, I went down a rabbit hole for hours. I just couldn't get enough of it. And Danny and I were just like dying laughing at this shit. Yeah, so the artist is Helms Art Creations.
Is it one artist that did all of those? Wow.
It is a man who sells his stuff on Zazzle.com, and
Okay.
they also have an Instagram. I am their only follower.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm their only follower, and they have one post, and their post is of the beginning of the painting of the snake woman going in getting her luggage from the airport. So
Okay, it's so
it says like,
specific.
yeah. So I was looking for a 2021 wall calendar because that's what I use to like anything and everything. I have pens and I write on the wall calendar, and I don't use like Google Calendar or anything like that. I'm super old
Like
school.
paper too.
Yeah. And so I was looking it up and I was like, ooh, sci-fi. I'm gonna see what kind of sci-fi calendars they got. And then that one popped up and I was like, oh my God. I was like offended by how horrible the artwork was. And
Yeah.
so I dove deeper. And then I was like, damn, do I love this? Do I hate this? It's making me feel. I don't know. I don't know. But
It
then, yeah,
seems
then
like
after I looked.
it had like a lot of like scenarios, like for the different characters, or are they just like okay.
So that's his thing. His thing, I read the blurb about what his expression is. It's monsters doing real life shit. What if
Oh.
monsters, mythological creatures lived among us? You'd see them doing real life stuff. So there's the Green Goblins playing rugby, which is very homoerotic and like very weird. And then there's like the witch, like the green witch that's doing some kind of ballet move. And then there's the alien that's rollerblading, and she's got like a oh, there's some there's oh and then but I love the genie that's chopping
Chopping the
vegetables.
vegetables, I saw
Yes.
that.
So after I saw that they had like the calendar, so I'm going through the calendar, January, February, looking at all the goods, I dove deeper. And then you can get pretty much anything you want with those images on it. And then some of the images have their own slogans that go with them, which are easily as
Wow.
ridiculous as the other one. So the genie's slogan was, I'm a kitchen genie. That's his slogan. I'm a
In
kitchen
case you
genie.
forget.
Yeah. And then what's oh gosh. And there was one, it was like a green-faced goblin girl with like a septum piercing, and she's taking a selfie. It's horrible. It was so bad. I don't even think I could have posted that one. But you can get it on like a wine glass,
Oh, cool.
or you can get a doormat of it.
Oh, no. I kind of love that.
Yeah, I really want to get the Kitchen Genie shirt.
Yeah.
But the fanny pack's great too. It's just a
Oh,
genie
cool.
chocolate carrots. I'm a kitchen
That's
genie.
so
Whoa, I'm a
cute.
kitchen genie.
Like, it just needs to be a music video or
Oh,
something.
okay, done. Done. But it's to all my knowledge, like this, it's a serious, it's serious, you know,
Yeah.
it's a
Oh, yeah.
serious,
It
it's
has
not meant to be,
reference.
yeah, it's not meant to be made fun of, which makes it even better to make fun of it.
Yeah.
Oh, but I
I'm
love
glad
it.
he has a follower. So that's really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, of course, attic fever. Could you share? Well, I guess if we could tell like people who are listening where they could find these videos at different places, because I initially found it on Instagram. I'm sure there's other places too. And then if you could talk about how that got started and who's involved, because there's a lot of really cool stuff going on with that.
Yeah, so we've kind of rebranded a name. I was doing videos, sketch comedy with some of my best girlfriends, and we were Uncle Garbage.
Yes, I
And
remember
we were
that.
doing stuff in Chicago through IO Theater. Rest in peace, it's no longer with us. But they've since like all moved to LA, moved away, got married, having a family. So it's kind of like it was a wonderful time that, you know, and it's kind of ran its course. So that's this. And then so we're like, well, we need a new name, we need a new kind of brand or whatever. So Attic Fever is our like our group, I guess. It's my boyfriend Danny McCarthy, and then my best friend Emily Saruto, and we're just like, we're the three best friends that anybody ever had right now. Like, we're all in love with each other. We're
That's so
just like, all
cool.
three of us are so in love with each other. Danny met Emily through the Chicago improv scene. And they were on an improv team together, and they became best friends. And then I, like, you know, I swooped up and I was like, she my best friend now.
That's so
So now
cool.
we're, yeah, so now we're all three best friends. And it's just, it, we work together so well, and it's the best time I've ever had. Like, the happiest I have ever been is making these silly videos. And it was back, you know, like, when I moved to Chicago, I started doing improv, started doing the improv classes, you know, going to Second City and doing that and doing stuff at IO. And I was like, man, I don't really love this. It's given me high anxiety and I'm not loving it. And then I was like, well, let me do some, take some music improv classes, which I thought was going to be more like, let's fucking jam, you know, like, because I remember back in the city, that's like, you just go to a party and people would have instruments and you just jam. And before you know it, you're singing like a really good song. You just improvise. So I'm going in there thinking it's going to be like a fun jam session. It's like, no, we're learning about the structures of songs and
Oh,
musicals, and
wow.
you're having to like perform a musical on stage off the top of your head. And I was awful at it. And I was awful at it. And I was just like, I'm not good at improv. I don't know.
It's so intense too, and a lot of pressure,
Yeah.
and just like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot.
It wasn't bringing me joy, but I was getting closer. I was getting closer to my niche, I feel. And then when we got the opportunity to start doing some videos with our group, that's where it kicked in. And I was like, I love being in front of the camera, also behind the camera, also directing, and all the wonderful thing that came about that. It like it's really evolved. So that was probably, you know, like 5 years ago. No, probably, well, anyway, whatever, years ago. But making more videos, you know, it's kind of came to seeing what I like to do, you know? And I finally feel that I'm at a comfortable place where, like, finally I'm 33 and I know that I don't want to be a psychologist and go back to grad school. I want to do this, and it'd be great if I could get paid for it. But right now,
Yes.
we're having fun. So now it's our golden child at a fever, and we work so well together. So Danny is a professional video editor and videographer and cinematographer, but he's amazing at editing. And Emily is a professional graphic designer,
Oh, that's awesome.
and then I guess I come in with more of like the rawness or whatever. I don't have any like skills. Well, I'm honing in
Well, I
on the
beg
skills.
to
I'm finding
differ.
love at first
Yeah.
part.
It just it feels so it's cool to hear about the dynamic of like knowing that there's a friendship because it feels like the chemistry is just like so together. There's something really smooth about it. And then the technical aspect is so good. Like I think it was is it a Krampus Easter? A Krampus family Easter. And I think I saw that like you did the makeup and like everything and like the editing, I guess, was done like by Danny. It's so cinematic and it's so cohesive. And I don't know how you guys are able to fill all of those roles, but it feels so like well-rounded. Like it's really polished. But the
Thank
writing is
you.
so good. So like it would have legs to stand on just based on how funny it is. But then to have that on top of it, like it looks like it should be on Netflix or it should be like
Thank
totally,
you.
but I love it. It's so funny. And your characters are so diverse too. So it's, I don't know.
It's would you believe that it's improvised?
I don't
So
I wouldn't believe that.
we're still new, and we're still well, we're getting a good body of work together, but we're finding out how we work together, what works for us, how we get to that point. And what's super fun is to have like a good idea, a rough outline of what's going to happen, and maybe some like bullet points of like phrases you need to say to help the storyline along. But other than that, you just riff it. And that's the kind of improvising I dig, you know. And it's just like, if you trust your scene partners, and like I have full trust in like the hilarity of Danny and especially Emily Cerruto. Oh my God, she's so fucking funny. Just to like sit back and watch them go, like, get it, girl, get it, roll with it. It's so funny because you never know what the fuck's gonna come out of their
It's
mouth.
so
And
cool.
like the best, some of the best parts are when they say something, they immediately burst out laughing,
Yeah.
and that's the take, and we just have to cut it right, you know, right after they laugh. And then and getting like our vibe, it's still new, so I feel like it's like we've got a good high quality production value because of Danny's geniusness and editing and like awesome equipment that we have, that you know, we've got like great cameras. We also like can have access to renting lots of stuff in Chicago. So you like we rented a gimbal for Dancing Cold, the music video of me
Oh,
running around like a
cool.
lunatic in
Yeah.
the cemetery, and
Which
like
I
learned how
love
to
the
use that.
music for that too. I thought it was really good.
Thank you. So it's like we're getting our production value. It's always that. It's something that hap it, but there's always like a new something fresh that we don't know how to accomplish. That one was like I've got this idea, but I've never worked with special effects makeup. I've never worked with latex. I want to peel my face off. How do I do that? So then I'll teach, you know, YouTube tutorials and look that up, and like, okay, that was like a goal that, you know, we had I had to jump over, and you know, I did it. And it's like, oh, we've never used a gimbal, which is like the steadying thing that keeps it from like, you know, like a handy look like a handy cam. So like had to teach yourself how to use that. And every video we do, there's always like a new thing, like those horns. I was like, I need big ass horns coming out of people's heads. How am I gonna
They're
make it?
so amazing.
Just do
Yeah.
it. And for the music video, we needed song. We were going to do the video to my friend's music, and that kind of fell through. And so I was like, well, damn it, I'm just going to make my own song.
Yes.
I can make a song. And by God, I sat down and I made a song.
It's so great. And I love that, like, you have, well, it sounds like the three of you, and I'm sure that there will be other collaborators too, but, like, you guys are so dedicated. And I love when people have ideas, and if something falls through, that doesn't mean that it can't happen. Like, it usually just means it's supposed to go another way. So I'm so glad that you did that, and you're just like, okay, I'll make it myself, and it'll still happen.
But, I can't wait until we can have more people. You know, it's been easy, like, living with Danny and making art, and Emily being our quarantine friend that we allow ourselves to see occasionally, and, you know, social distance as best we can, but we do see each other. But I want, you know, the day to come where, I mean, I want to do a music video with dance. I want to choreograph dances. Yeah. I want people making out. I want people getting down and dirty.
Like a real party.
Yeah. Yeah, like a real
like
party.
Like a Bosch painting.
Yes. I want all kinds of germs up in there. I can't wait.
Totally.
So we're kind of limited now, but stay tuned. So on Instagram, it's addict.fever. And then we're on YouTube. Just look up Addict Fever. I think you'll find it. Is that bad? Is that a bad plug?
No, it's perfect. And I'll
digging.
Put some links in too. It's so fun. I think, what is it? Oh, so I played, so I guess it's not much of a kid's channel, but I played Sniffany for Strummer because he loves stop motion animation. And he has a question he wants me to ask you. He wants to know, how did Sniffany die? Like, what happened to Sniffany?
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was, and for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, or you're about to, it's so cool because, so it's called In Memoriam Sniffany, and it's all these little super inventive and weird creatures. So back to the creature thing again.
Very
that
gosh.
Are mourning Sniffany, yeah. And it's this hilarious funereal moment, but... And it has, like, such a cool color palette, too. Like, there's a moodiness to it. And then you have, like, a talking baby and a talking pig. And it's got all kinds of delights to it. But we love it. It's so funny.
Man, I'd like to know what Strummer thinks. How he thinks Sniffany died. Because I don't have an answer for that. I never thought about that. I actually never did.
I'll have to ask him, because I bet he probably has an idea and just is waiting for me to ask. That's the type of kid he is.
Going back to, like, the obstacles to overcome when we get this grand idea to do something, we had never done stop motion before. And we just learned how to do it and did it. But the set design was so much fun, getting all that and the lighting. But that was in our bedroom.
Wow.
And Danny and I spent... God, we should have clocked how many hours we spent. You know, stop motion takes so long, and I didn't know. I mean, I knew it took long, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And so he's taking the pictures and clicking it, and I'm moving the, you know, a little arm, for so long. And you know how when you're doing something over and over and over, when you're done doing it, your body is still like doing that, you know, like if you're jumping on a trampoline, you get off, you still kind of, like when you down to go to bed, you're still like swimming.
That memory.
I was, after we got done making that, like one day putting in like a good, you know, hour, 7 hours nonstop working on it, I got in the shower and I raised my arms up
no.
and, like, put shampoo in my hair, and I swear I was hallucinating. My arms were going like,
my gosh,
and everything, like I moved my arm, like reaching for the, like the poof in the shower, felt like I was like
totally.
It was trippy.
But like, you've had some intense dreams too, because that's so much work. But
yeah,
that's so cool.
That's a good one. Yeah, we always have some kind of fun obstacle, like it being too cold, but we persevere. Or like, I mean, sneaking into the graveyard, we climbed over a fence and got in, you know. And I didn't want to go into a graveyard with like a bloody face because, well, you know, I want somewhat respectful. I mean, I am dancing on graves, but you know, I was like, if I go in there with like a bloody face, people are gonna not be happy if they see me. So I had to do the makeup while I was there. Like we hopped over the
Wow.
fence, and then it was like hide behind a gravestone and like slather liquid latex and squirt fake blood all over my face, and then like, all right, let's go. It's getting dark. Gotta hurry.
That's so cool. But that I'm sure that was nerve-wracking too. That's so cool.
Yeah, we were definitely like looking around to see if anybody was coming around the bend or anything, because we didn't. That would be very traumatic, I would imagine, for someone coming to pay their respects and looking over, and I'm acting like I'm possessed by a demon, and my face is rotting off, and I'd be like,
Right.
"Oh
Did
my
you
God!"
see that the zombie movie, The Dead Don't Die? It has like Iggy Pop playing like it's really weird. It doesn't have great reviews, but I love it. But like Iggy Pop is like one of the zombies, and he's like a coffee zombie. So like each zombie has a thing that they miss from when they were alive, and that's like their mantra. So for him, it's like coffee, and they're so gross. And it's super, like it's a comedy movie, but the makeup is super, super good. It's like it made me think of yours because like it looks so realistic, but there was like something just like it wasn't completely reverent. Like there was like something like more, I guess, like referencing. I guess like more comedic films, but it's really cool. But that video, I love the mixture of the music. It has like this kind of like slight 80s but more contemporary feel. And there's so many different like genres like layered together. So I thought it was really cool.
Thanks. It was fun to do. It was definitely fun to do. And after, yeah, it's just after you film something like that, you just get it. I just get like a high from it for sure. Like being in the moment, especially improvising stuff and just seeing where it goes. It always changes. And then you get it into the editing process, and that's like where most of the comedy. I'm learning a lot. I'm learning how to edit and feel like I'm getting better at it. But Danny's such a wizard, and he knows like those beats, those comedic beats of where to cut and how many to have and where to come in and where to move it around. And music is such a big part in that. It aids in the comedy as well, you know, when the music starts, when it stops. But there's a real science to it of getting
Yeah.
those comedic beats in there. It's like
And that can
sometimes.
make or change the editing. I feel like it's such an important part. It changes everything when you have the rhythm just kind of augmented. Or if there's like one, there can be 1 second that you add that changes the mood, I feel like.
It's amazing. And even, yeah, sometimes less is more. And then sometimes just cutting it right a split second a little sooner when someone's eyes like move over to the side, you know, and then it's just like, that's it. That's the shot. End on it. Yeah,
That's so good.
it's fun.
And that makes me think of the character because you play a teenager in the Krampus family, and I guess your partner is playing like the paternal, like the dad in the family. And I love, so like for your character, did you have like, I guess, did you have like any like characters in mind from other like things that you've seen, or how did you find like her moodiness? She has like this gothic part, but then there's like things that she takes part in that she enjoys that the family does, and I thought it was really cool what her temperament was like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess there's a few ways I could have played it. You know, I could have been like a teenage girl that's super into it and ready, like, yeah. But it was like we wanted to make them realistic people, like that Krampuses are just like any family dynamic. And like you know, it just felt right to have a really angsty teenage girl who I guess harkens back to me when I was that age, like just being super moody and like I'm an artist and I wear paintbrushes in my hair and I pencil in my widow's peak before high school, which I did.
That's pretty,
I'll get
that's super
brown
gnarly.
eyeline, brown eyeliner, and try to look like a more prominent widow's peak because
Oh,
I was fucking
cool.
cool. And but we were like, yeah, let's make her like emo. So we borrowed a wig from my downstairs neighbor who does drag and has a plethora of beautiful wigs and
Cool.
turn it around backwards. That's my biggest wig trick. If anybody needs a good wig trick, you've got double the amounts of wigs if you turn them around, wear them backwards. It's
Yeah,
a
that's an
whole new look.
excellent tip.
Yeah. So I turned that baby around and pulled it back. And then all of a sudden, you've got that like emo, like black hair with the bangs coming around. And I was upset because I wanted to make her teeth like fangs. And I was trying my damnedest to figure out how to make these teeth. And I got beeswax and I was going to try to like make a mold. And then I had a problem with getting the adhesive to stick. So I was like, man, I really wanted these teeth to work out. But so I just got some brown lipstick and made them all dirty and it worked out great.
Yeah, no, I think
But,
it's perfect how she is. But there's something I can tell that there's like that teenagery, like there's like resistance, but there's still like these little glimpses of like love for your parents. Even when you're at your moodiest or like your darkest, you think as a kid, you still have these like nuggets of like, okay, that's fine, like whatever.
yeah,
And I
it is.
love that part of it.
Isn't that how it goes? Like if you're just like these traditions are so silly and I'm so older and I'm above this and so stupid, but they always have a way of being like, well, I do like a Christmas tree or I do like well, I do like this and yeah, and you see, yeah, that's you see her kind of get, yeah. You said it
That,
better.
no,
I'm
but I
just
think
repeating.
it's like it makes me just think of, I guess, the way I was as a teenager. But then even like even Strummer, he'll go through like moody bouts of just like wanting to be alone. That's already happening. And then it's like the tiniest little thing, like it could just be like he likes smoothies or milkshakes and stuff. And then it's just like instantly he's just like, "Yay, mommy!" And he's just like hugging me. And I'm just like, "You had daggers in your eyes, and you're like slamming your door 2 minutes ago." But it's super sweet too. But it's just like it's so intense. But I love it.
He's gonna be the coolest teenager.
Yeah, I think so. Well, speaking of teenagers, so there's a bunch of teenagers in the movie that you picked because you said it was one of your favorite, or maybe it's your very favorite movie, and I love that what you picked. You picked Peggy Sue Got Married, and that movie came on all the time when I was a kid. My mom always watched it, so I have like so many cozy feelings about it. And it's been a super long time since I've seen it. And I was just pulling up like scenes like, off of YouTube. There was like a trailer, and then there was like a montage of like different scenes, like maybe put together to make like 10 minutes of like a summary of the movie. And in that little summary, I had like tears streaming down my face because it's so sentimental, but there's something about it. Like it's not afraid to look at like grief, and it's not afraid to look at like death and all of these really serious, big like ideas, but it's also really funny. So why is this a movie that you love, and how did you pick it?
Oh, it is my. I've come to terms with this is my favorite movie. Like, it when I watch it, it gives me a weird feeling, and it's really hard to describe. It gives me like a almost like a if you sm have a if you smell something and it makes you have a flashback to that memory or something. You kind of get lost in it. I have these weird, but not out of body experiences with this movie, but it just like it takes me someplace. And you know, it's a fictional storyline, so or could be thought of that this so not to spoiler alert. The Kathleen Turner's character goes back in time, and she can go back in time to, I think it's 1967 or something like that. And she can do things over if she wanted to. She's unhappy with her marriage in the beginning of the movie. But it's like, you know, that's a, could be seen as like a silly, as a silly movie plot, but the acting sells it. And I'm just complete, completely brings me in to where I am just 150% invested in this story of her going back and being able to do things over again, kind of like a second chance. You know, if you have just the regrets and having regrets in life and getting old and unhappy with your life and being able to go back to what you think is happier times, what you would do different has always struck a chord with me. Not that I personally have a lot of regrets, but there's just something so sad about that, like a life wasted, or being, you know, having resentment to your partner because you grew up too fast and got pregnant too young. And there's so many things going on in her life, and you're kind of rooting for, I personally was always rooting for her to not get married and to go do whatever, you know, like be with this person you had a crush with, or be this, you know, have a gay fling. Come on, Peggy Sue. Like, get with the times.
This kind of.
Right. Trip acid. Do all the things you never did. But I'm not going to spoil it. But this, the acting is so good too. And like Kathleen Turner, amazing. But it's got like young, hot Nicolas Cage in it.
Yes.
So, you know.
And this is the second Nicolas Cage film that someone has picked on the podcast.
Oh, so cool.
he's always so different with every movie that he's in. And I love that they don't pick different actors to play the younger parts. I feel like if it was made now, they would have different actors playing the different eras. But it's so cool to see his voice and everything. It changes so much when he's like a teenager. So I love it.
Yeah, and there's like a rawness to the dialogue that I really appreciate, that I have a hard time with shows and movies where I sometimes feel like I can see the dialogue written out in a script. It's almost like they're saying it, but I can like see the script. I can see it written out, and I know that they're reading it, and like the, maybe it's a writing thing, but there's not that like, I want to say improvised kind of feel to it, like off the tough kind of feel that makes it so much realer. It takes me out of it. It doesn't take me out of the movie, you know, because sometimes I'll see that and I'll be like, well, that doesn't sound like something a person would actually say. But I think in like, it's the little things, like Nicolas Cage does the, like, you know, they're like, they're dancing and like they're getting really close and dancing, and he's like, you know, you're my girl, Peggy, and you always will be. It's like, I'm sure like Francis Ford Coppola wasn't like, okay, and just do it like this. You know, he might not even like, they might even have written it that, but there's like some like really good improvised parts or some, it's just so real. And there's Jim Carrey in it. Another influence of mine, I feel. Oh my gosh. And yeah, young Jim Carrey. I don't even know if he might've been James Carrey back then, but.
He's a baby in that. He's like a little, he's like baby fat, and I don't know, it's cool to see the dynamic between him and the other actors.
And the part where my, like one of my favorite parts is the scene where he finds out she's dating someone else, and he comes in through the window and he gets a pillow and he smother her to death, and she wakes up and he hits the pillow down and he's like, come into the basement. And they go into this basement and they have this, like, they're teenagers. She's lived a life, you know, she's lived a life. She's been married to him for however, you know, however many years technically, but he doesn't know that. And he's arguing about things she knows aren't going to work because she's like, you know, she's went back in time. But, you know, he wants to try to be a musician and still wants to try, but she knows that he's not going to succeed at it, you know. And then they have that whole scene in the basement is just like, ooh, it's so real. And like, I've had arguments like that where I know that that's not playing around right there. That's like, that's a real argument that feels like arguments I have had with significant others in the past, you know. It's just like, it's very on, it's I don't know. It's nostalgic because I wish it was younger, but it's like, I don't know. It's
She's
an
so
old problem.
open to like being vulnerable, and I feel like maybe some people, if they went back in time, they wouldn't be able to to articulate their experience the way that she does, like really mess with someone if they're time traveling and they know what's happening already in the future. There's just that's a lot to take in, and she's able to remain really strong about it, but also just really kind of feel like all the different ways and all the different passages that she could have taken. And so it's really complicated and scary, but she seems so like open and very honest about feeling everything and really just kind of laying it all out there. So I really like that aspect.
She loses herself in that reality too. It's almost like, well, if I went back in time, probably every day I'd be like, what the fuck? You know, like what? You know, like freaking out. But for the sake of the movie and getting through a movie, she like, you know, she loses herself in it and starts to enjoy it. I do one of the part in the movie, it just gives me chills and it makes my eyes swell up with tears, is when she first goes to her house and she's in her childhood room and she's looking around at her records and all her stuff, and she's like, what is going on? And then that's hard. I'm like, oh my God, chill bumps and ever, like my nipples burst out of my shirt and like, you know, like it's just like, oh God, my skin. Yeah, good movie. Damn, I'm gonna have to watch that again. It's been a while for me too.
And I think it's like the sensory theme that you brought up with it. I think that's really cool because that's something that comes up, I think, more with things that we've seen when we're younger, or just with movies that have more of more of like an emotional like part like aspect to the storytelling, because there's so much sensory things with this movie. I guess because like we're kind of experiencing it like through her, like imagining our own childhood bedrooms, or thinking about like what you're saying, like experiences that might mirror or have some similarity to things that have happened to the viewer. So I think that's a really cool part of it. It's all the senses are kind of like enveloped, and a really good movie does that, but a lot of times that doesn't happen. So I like that too.
Yeah, it's very
Cool.
emotional based, and it's
Yeah.
when you can put where you can put yourself in that scenario very easily. It's welcoming you to put yourself in that scenario.